Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, with every song that we sang, what is the title somewhere in the message? Praise God. Praise God. Today, we're going to give you some reasons, hallelujah, to praise the Lord. That is the title of the message that God has for every single one of us. Reasons to praise the Lord, to encourage us today that no matter what you're going through, it's temporal. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be reading from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to read several verses of scripture, verses 3 through 9. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. And once you have found it, for those that are able, if you wouldn't mind kindly standing to your feet, simply for the reading of God's word. If you're there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, if you're there, say, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah, I got you this morning. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm starting at verse number 3, and the word of the Lord says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, hallelujah, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, glory to God, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, hallelujah, by the power of God. How many are kept by the power of God this morning? When you understand what that means, it's going to blow you away. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, never quit. Hallelujah. Never quit. Never give up. Never throw in the towel. Verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may take your seats this morning in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. I do not consider myself an old man. Hallelujah. That's Junebug, right? That's Papo or Pookie Bear. I do not consider myself an old man. However, I can certainly tell you that I am getting older. Hallelujah. With maturity comes accountability, with the acceptance of responsibilities. With age comes the understanding and awareness that God is in everything. Praise God. How many remember Clint Eastwood? Clint Eastwood, he's still around. Praise God. He's still doing his thing. Still making movies, but there was a quote in one of his movies, and he said, a man's got to know his limitations. I have a quote for you today. Here's my quote. A Christian needs to know his expectations, his foundations, his declarations, his operations without hesitation, or he will have some lamentation. Isn't it true that sometimes, no matter what is going on, we start crying and getting all wounded, pansy, over the silliest little things? And sometimes it could take forever to get over stuff. We cry over spilt milk. We stress over what I may consider nothing, nada, zero, papa, like my grandson says, zero, papa. For those that don't know, my grandson, David, he's a wonderful, beautiful little guy. But, you know, he'll say, no, David, do you want juice? David, do you want this? And he's into numbers and letters and everything. And he says, no, no. He'll shake his head, no, no, no. And you keep saying, but have something. Aren't you thirsty? And he goes, zero, zero, papa. Like, if you haven't got the no, then he'll go, zero, papa, zero. I don't want anything. Sometimes God goes, zero, Christian, zero. And we start manifesting. Listen, no is an answer to prayer. How many people know that no is an answer to prayer? Some of us would have less stress in our life if we learned how to say the word no. No is anointed. Hallelujah. Pastor, can I come up to the mic? No. We have a non-open mic policy up in here. Hallelujah. It's not that kind of party. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes we let our emotions run wild. Truly. You know, in funerals, this is why, you know, every time I have officiated in a funeral, I always say, let's pre-plan, let's pick the people, because what happens is at the funeral, everybody's emotional. Everybody, and then you get up to the mic, and then it becomes a little cray-cray. Right? So everything has to be done in order and with excellence. Everything has to be done right so that God is glorified and magnified and everything comes out right. And the family doesn't have to go, yo, somebody pull the mic here. Let's go. Come on. Right? But we stress over so many things. Sometimes it's just not that important. It's not that serious. As a man who is maturing like fine wine, hallelujah, gray hair, the Bible says gray hair is a crown of splendor. Not only do I have gray hair, I have a gray beard, hallelujah, praise God. Paid my dues, still paying, hallelujah. Jesus, help me, Lord. But over the years of my life, there's one thing that I have learned. I've learned to depend on the Lord. I don't depend on man. I like to receive, you know, counsel and encouragement and all. I have no problem with that. But my dependence is on the Lord. I've learned to depend on the Word of God. I've learned to hold on to the promises of God. I've learned to get into the inheritance of what it means to be a son and even a daughter of God. I've learned to embrace the inheritance that God has afforded me in this lifetime. I've learned to love his favor. I've learned to receive his bounty, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. Woo! This pastor was jacked up for years. I live like a dirt bag. If it wasn't for the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, man, I couldn't even stand before you today. I did everything I could to destroy this pastoral mantle on my life. This is the my mother was telling me from 8 years old, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a pastor. Not me. Zero, mama. Zero. But his love, which I still can't even understand. I can't get a full grasp of his love. But his love literally yanked me out of the mud. And I've learned now in this stage of my life, everything's going to be okay. You hear my wife laugh, right? Everything's going to be all right. Through it all, everything's going to work out. It's going to be okay. My wife gets a little tight with me because I've gotten in this place in my life where I've stopped stressing about the things that I can't control. There are things that I can control. Delivery, I can control. But I can't control response. I can't control how people are going to receive. We could be in the same room. Everybody hears the same message. 50% says, hallelujah, glory to God. That word was fire. Hey. And the other 50% are like, I'm deleting this guy. Delete. You're not my friend anymore. I don't love you. You hurt my feelings. It's true. But I've learned there's certain things I can control. I could control certain things in my own nature, my own, and I go to the cross every day for those things. Help me with me. Save me from me, Lord. But for the things that I can't control, I just say, everything's going to be all right. Do you know why? Because there's one thing I know, that God works in my best interest. No matter what the devil means for evil, God will take that very thing and turn it for my good. Hallelujah. God starts in the positive and he ends in the positive. Praise the Lord. And the word of God tells me no good thing will he withhold with those who love him, with those who fear him, with those that walk uprightly. Praise God. Listen, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But if we're striving to walk with Jesus, that's why I listen to that song, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I hear the words through the toil, right? I hear the words of that song. And every time I weep, that is my life. That is my life. That is my song. That is a monument. It's an altar. There's songs. How many have a song that you sing when you're down in the dumps? When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? You know, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him, praise him. When you praise him, when you praise. I can't sing like Russ Taff, hallelujah. But you get the message, don't you? You gotta praise your way through some funky stuff. Because if not, you'll be in the valley of death, the valley of the shadow of death. And you'll be in Lodabar. I can't live in Lodabar. Do you know why I'm a Christian? Because I don't like the heat. Hallelujah. Heat doesn't work well with me. That's why it won't. Hell is not a place for me. I like air conditioning. My air conditioning is on right now. 24/7 all the way through to probably September. My wife, it drives her bananas. But I like to be cool. I like to be cold. I'm a polar bear. Right? But there's have you ever been to sleep when it's 90 degrees and not even a fan can help that? And you open up the windows hoping that a breeze would come in. And me, I get cranky. Hallelujah. My wife had a trick years ago before we could afford AC. Hallelujah. This is a crazy, crazy thing. But it worked. Praise God. I complain and complain, but then every night I was like, can you do that for me again, please, please? She would take a towel and wet the towel and put the towel over my body and put a fan on. And I was like, I say, yo, you're the one, kid. Hallelujah. Praise God. As long as you keep me cool, I'm happy, kid. She's got a doctorate in Albertology. Praise God. That's my Azar right there. That woman right there. She knows me like nobody knows me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to get back to the message. But I find a song in everything. When something's going on, I sing. If you've been out with me, we could be at a lunchroom and somebody will be talking about something and I'll come up with a song. I start singing the song, right, Manny? Right? We just, you know why? Because there's joy in my heart. And sometimes the joy comes flooding out. You can't even help it. When you live in a lifestyle of praising God and being grateful for the little things, I get news and I'm like, I'm so joyful for what, like, there's a movie, Facing the Giants, Sherwood Pictures, right? The Sherwood Brothers, whatever they call themselves. There was a picture called Facing the Giants where there was a coach who was going through all kinds of stuff. It seemed like all hell was going through his life. But he just kept on persevering. And at the end of the movie, he is so blessed that he gets on his knees and he says, stop! I can't take it anymore. You're blessing me too much. Man, I want to get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'll ever have a stop blessing me prayer. But I have a thank you prayer. Thank you again. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why do you look upon me with so much love, Lord? Why have you given me so much favor? What is man? What am I that you are mindful of me? I'm a speck of dust. I'm so imperfect. Man, there's so much error in my life. Why do you do anything for me? Why do you not give up on me? I would have given up on me. God is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. People of God, you've got to learn this verse of scripture. It's going to change your life. Psalm 22:3. For you are holy, O you that inhabits the praises of his people, Israel. Praise God. How many know that you are engrafted into this promise? Amen? Because sometimes you, that is valid for Israelis, but I'm not an Israeli. But are you a child of the Most High God? Were you engrafted into the kingdom? Are you purchased by the blood of Jesus? Is this not the age of the church, the age of the Gentiles, where we are engrafted into the Abrahamic covenant? Get to know the word. It'll set your life free. God inhabits the praises of his people. That means he is enthroned in your praise and in your worship. Stop complaining. Stop fussing about the stuff that you can't control. God is enthroned on your praises. If you praise more, you would worry less. God inhabits. He is looking for, he is searching for those who know that he has got their six. Amen. Military term means I got your back. Yes. Amen. Everything's under control. We're going to worship you, Lord, though we don't have a building right now, though we have to use video worship right now, those that many of us had to get a car because we don't even have a car, you have to get carpooled into church, those of us who can't be here, so we're online. There's so many things we could complain about, but blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. You have life, you have breath, you have food in your cupboard, you've got everything that you need, you got clothes on your back. Your kids are taken care of. Everything is good. Bless the Lord, oh you, his heavenly hosts, his people. Praise God. Did you know that praising God brings peace? Some of you understand that. But some of you don't believe. So I'm going to give you the word so you can believe. Amen. Philippians 4. 7 through 9. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Listen, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Can I get real up in here for a minute? The problem is we don't meditate on the things that are noble, true, pure, and holy, and upright. We meditate on drama llama ding dong. Did you see the way that she looked at me today? Did you see what she was wearing? Ooh. Oh, God, help her. Did you see this? Did you hear that? Did you? Like a beatbox. I can't do that. Nonsense. We meditate on such dumb stuff, just stuff that makes us dirty inside. It causes us to be distracted. It causes us to be bitter. It separates us from the brethren. It separates you from the very peace of God, from the love of God. It separates you because God says, until you get it together, you're going to keep suffering. Until you linger through and keep going on your own way, I'm going to let you hit your head against the wall. I'm going to let you fall. I'm going to let you. You know why? Because you're being stubborn. You don't want to meditate on the good things that I've done for you. All you want to see is the negative. Well, you go ahead and be negative. Let's see how that works out for you. But when you're ready, you come. Return to me, says the Lord. Come to me. Let me give you rest. Those that are weary and heavy laden, those who are burdened, come. Come. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. A peace that surpasses understanding. A peace that the world knows nothing about. Let me talk this morning a little bit about Brother Peter. Apostle Peter. Seemingly a misfit. Peter was a man who had a troubled temper. We see that a lot in the Word of God. We see when he took out a sword and cut off a soldier's ear. And Jesus was like, dude, what are you doing? This is not how it's done. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Peter was a man who had a trouble or issues with temptation. Peter and some others of the disciples tried to keep the children away from Jesus. And Jesus said, suffer them not, let the children come to me. Peter was a man with selfish ambition. We read about him saying, which one of us will be the greatest in heaven? Which one of us will get to touch the microphone? Which one of us will be at the Christmas cantata concert? What color will my robe be, Pastor? Peter resisted Jesus when Jesus was washing everyone's feet. He said, no, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you got no part of me. You're not part of this fellowship, bro. That's the Ebonics version. I'm paraphrasing. Stay with me here. Amen. I'm trying to reach every audience here. Amen. Praise God. Peter was a man who had trouble with his tongue. Uh-oh. Dropping F-bombs at the fireplace. Not only that, but when things got too heavy, guess what Peter did? He quit. He left the apostolic life and he went back to what he knew. What did he know? Fishing. And then he goes back out on the boat and again catching nothing. He met Jesus catching nothing. And then Jesus says, hey, little children. Oh, let somebody call me children when I'm having a bad fishing day. When you ain't catching nothing. And you're out there for hours, and you're pulling nets, and your hands got blisters, and some dude on the beach says, children, did you catch anything? But by now, he's learned a few lessons. How many know you got to learn your lessons in the faith? Praise God. Grow up. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope he ain't talking about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we got to learn and grow up, grow up, grow up. Hallelujah. Grow up. Learn, grow, mature, get to the next level. You could turn to your neighbor and say, nah, he probably is talking about me, right? I think he is. I think he hit me with that one. Hallelujah. I got hit with that one. It was right there, right there. Hallelujah, got me. But here's the reality. You know, we read about the Apostle Peter, who was formerly known as Simon, and we think that we knew him, but the reality is many of us are just like Peter. But even here in the book of Peter, the first chapter, 1 Peter, he starts his letter and he begins with several reasons to praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Number one, God has given us a living hope. Hallelujah. Hope is real. It is not a small matter. How many know that you have been begotten again into a living hope? That means Jesus Christ, God allowed you to live even when you were initially an enemy of God. He gave us a new living hope. Praise God. Let me give you a scripture. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. That means no matter what you did, no matter what you've done, you have a new lease on life. Not only that, life eternal. That means here and in the next. Praise God. That means in the spiritual realm. You get a do-over here on earth. You get a fresh start. Not only that, with fresh reward. He gives you life and that more abundantly. Not only in glory, but here on earth. Amen. This is an undeserved reward given simply because of the love of the Father in heaven. And Jesus came to reconcile us, to bring us back into the right place of relationship. That right there is enough to praise the Lord for the rest of your life. Amen. But there are those that even still are literally without hope. I call them the walking dead. Dead man walking. They're walking, they're breathing, they're alive, but they're really dead. Dead man walking. Listen to these verses of scripture. It should shake people to the core. That at the time, Ephesians 2:12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that means the inheritance, the blessing, the favor, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That means people that are outside of the body of Christ have no hope. Zero, Papa. Yes. No hope. Proverbs 11:7. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. Wow. Think about that. That means all their expectations. Oh, I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe I'm a good person. I believe that God is just so full of love that he's just going to let me walk into heaven. Really? He kicked out the devil because of pride in his heart. He threw him out and threw out a third of the angels. But because you're special, he's just going to let you walk right in? When you've been blaspheming him and cursing him your whole life, when you've been actively, defiantly, rebelliously living as a son and daughter of disobedience, and he's just going to walk you right in. Say, come on in, buddy. It's okay. It's okay. I forgive you. Come on in. It's not like that. If you ain't covered by the blood, you don't have the entry pass. Hallelujah. Without the blood, what shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Right? We have a praise and worship service up in here. Start singing. Praise God. The blood. How many thank God for the blood? How many thank him for the cross? Praise God. You know, there's still Christians with Jesus on the cross, still wearing a cross with Jesus on it. Jesus is off the cross. He's not on the cross. But the cross is a symbol of my freedom. It's a symbol of my inheritance. I was engrafted into the covenant through the blood that was shed on the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. You took my death. You took my punishment. But oh, how sad it would be for those that have these false expectations. Their expectation will perish at the time of their death. Hell is real. It's not Club Med. There are no parties. You're not going to get your freak on in hell. You're not going to be reunited with your homeboys and your BFFs. Hell is eternal torment. Punishment. It's a lake of fire and brimstone. It's punishment and absence from the presence of God. The Bible calls that the second death. There are so many misconceptions about hell and death, and people think they're not going to end up there. Well, if you're not covered by the blood, that's your destination. That's the end of the road. That's the game over. You do not pass go, and you do not collect $200. More importantly, when you die, you don't get wings. You don't become an angel. It's funny because everybody in the newspaper goes to heaven. Every obituary, everybody gets wings and they all go to heaven. That's a lie. But oh, how pleasant it is. Oh, how pleasant it is for those who are in Christ. Listen to Peter's contrast, living hope. Christ is alive. Hallelujah. And because he's alive, everything changes. Praise the living God. Listen to these verses, Romans 1, 3, and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. This is so important for our Jewish brothers because they don't believe Jesus came from the line of David. It's a prophetic thing that needs to be explained to them. The seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That means our salvation is guaranteed. Hallelujah. The reward of your faith is guaranteed. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And has become the first fruits of those who has fallen asleep. For since by man came death, but by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. This is why you got to be in it. Praise God. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. That means no tiki, no laundry. Number two, God is giving us a lasting inheritance. Woo! Hallelujah. Peter, listen to this. Peter was the son of a poor fisherman. That was his trade. He grew up learning how to fish, and he himself became a fisherman. He had left his earthly inheritance, even though it would have been small. There was not much there, but he left it all to go and follow Christ. Even a small inheritance. I want you to get this. He left his family. He left his friends. He left his relatives. All of which must have wondered, what has gotten into Peter? What's wrong with that brother? What's wrong with him? Just like many of you, the minute you came to Christ, your friends start saying, what happened? What happened? We used to hang, man. We used to party. What's going on? I'll tell you what. Why don't you come to church? You'll get a party like you never had. Amen. There he goes again. He's a holy roller now. He's a Jesus freak. He's a hallelujah. Doesn't he have a plan for his future? Yeah. He secured it by walking with Christ. Hallelujah. They don't know that Peter had realized that there was a great inheritance in front of him, ahead of him, an inheritance that is incorruptible. It will never decay. No one can ever steal it from him. An inheritance that will never fade away. It was not a mirage. Speaking of which, the mirage in Las Vegas is now being torn down. Even those things that may seem glorious in this world, it's all coming to an end, man. This inheritance is reserved for him in heaven, praise God. Listen, and this is a true statement. Every single one of us, the minute the doctor goes like this, the minute you get spanked on your behind, you're beginning the death process. The minute you go, you take your first breath, you're already starting to die. There's a process. We go through childhood, adolescence, you go through adulthood, senior, all that. There's a process, but you're beginning the death. You're not intended to live in this physical tent forever. We are perishing people living among perishing things. And nothing in this world is meant to last, not even your physical body. However, hallelujah, turn to your neighbor and say, it's about to get good in here, praise God. We have good news, hallelujah. Don't fret, don't frown. Turn that frown upside down, hallelujah. However, if you are in Christ, you will never perish, hallelujah. You are going to live forever. Nor will your inheritance perish, praise God. Man, I learned a lesson from my mom. We had Mother's Day last week. I posted my mother's picture. Thank you guys for all the kind words you said. My mother was a woman of God, but she was amazing. She was amazing. Her earthly resume, she had an eighth grade education. She worked as a high school kitchen aide for like 20-something years, 28 years. She didn't have a retirement. She wasn't a billionaire. By earthly standards, she was not really a very successful woman. It might be considered a pauper in many people's eyes. But in the kingdom of God, which is where I belong, hallelujah, I'm part of the kingdom. My mom is a multi-billionaire in the things of God. She stored up her treasures in heaven. She had more wisdom. My wife just says, she had more wisdom in her little pinky than so many people out in the world. Praise God. You know why? Because she tapped into a kingdom principle. She gave. She blessed people. She did it in secret. I learned things about my mother that I never knew in life. And I used to say, where did she get the money to do this? She was always broke. You know why? Because she gave her whole life to people. She was driving people to doctor's appointments, buying Pampers for single mothers, buying them milk, doing all kinds. She was taking people to college. She was helping them get their, citizenships. I mean, all kinds of stories. And I was like, where did she find the time? And then nobody, and they say, you know why we didn't tell you? Because she said, the minute you say anything, it stops. Don't you tell anything to anyone. I'll help you as long as you keep your mouth shut. And at her funeral, I just wept because all these people kept saying, she told me not to tell you. She told me not to tell you. She told me not to tell you. Man, she stored up treasures in glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, and so much time. Listen, people do good deeds, and I'm all for good deeds, but they go, hey, I'm about to walk into Walmart, and I'm about to buy groceries for some lady, so come, follow me. Yeah, I'll pay for those groceries. Here's $100. And they go, oh, I didn't have no money. I'll take God all. And then what happens is people start posting on Facebook, well done. Good job. That was cool, man. And guess what? The Bible, it says it. You shall have your reward in full. This is your reward. Well done, Papa. My mom said, nah, I ain't going out like that. I'm going to store up my treasure. She said, what you do to the least of these, you do is unto me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you gave me bread. When I was in jail, you visited me. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. And you say, when were you thirsty? When were you hungry? When were you naked? When were you in prison? What are you talking about? He says, when you do this to the least of these, you're doing it unto me. So many people don't have the blessings of God because they're cheap. Cheap! I hate to dampen people's spirit here, but I got to keep it real. Do you know when you go to a restaurant and some servant, someone is waiting on you and they're coming to your table. Can I fill that up for you? Can I get that drink? Can I get you the coffee? Can I? You need a napkin? You need butter? You need sugar? You need some syrup? How are you doing? Everything okay? Is there anything I can get for you? You want me to run and get? And then you put a dollar on the table? Cheap! Hallelujah! Christians, saints of the Most High God, you represent a royal kingdom. You have an inheritance. Not only will you have blessings in the next kingdom, right? In the kingdom of glory. But while you're here, you are an ambassador of heaven. That means you represent Jesus Christ, who's the king. He not only has gold, he knows how to make it. If you're broke, he could turn the chair you're sitting in to solid gold. You never limit God. He could turn your car into gold. But we're so cheap. And then we wonder why we're broke. I'm going to do a whole teaching on tithes and offerings. Because it's a flow. It comes from here, and then it comes to here. This is where the challenge comes. This is where the test comes. Because now it comes to you, and you go, oh. And you could turn into Daffy Duck. And you could say, mine, mine, all mine, 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 mine. And the clam is closing in on your life. You're sitting in a clam holding onto a pearl. And you say, mine, mine, I'm socially secure. I'm filthy rich. It's mine, me, 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 myself, and I. And then it closes you up, swallows you up. And you wonder why you're broke. When you give and you give it away, that's why I say all the time, stop loaning people money. Just give it. If you have it to give, just give it away. Bless somebody. If God has afforded you the blessing to bless somebody else, then just give it away. Because then you're going to lose a friendship over $20. Or you're going to lose a brother or sister over $50 or $100, whatever it is. Let it go. Don't even think about it. Praise God. But when you give, you're an extension of God. And he says, oh, well, if I could trust him with this and he gave that, then I'm going to bless him with more. And now you've opened up the flood. Open up the floodgates. Dun, 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 dun. Open up the. We got to sing that song one of these days. It's an awesome song. Indiana Bible College. Fantastic song. Let me read Matthew. Praise God. I think I didn't put it. Okay, so let me put this in. Matthew 6:19-21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, so you saw the next slide. Let's talk a little bit about our inheritance. The Lord's word gives us loads of assurances about our eternal inheritance. If you type in the word inheritance in Bible Gateway, I think there's like 54 or 59 times in Scripture that the Word of God uses inheritance. Most of them are all blessings and promises of God. I picked a few fun ones here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, there it was. Matthew 6. Here it goes. Here's your inheritance. Psalm 2:8. It says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Psalm 16:5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup, and you maintain my lot. Oh, I wish that we would live that way when we read those words. Glory to God. There'd be less stress in our life. Psalm 37:18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. That means no one's going to take it from you. So stop manifesting. Psalm 47:4. He, that means God, he will choose our inheritance for us. The excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. Selah. That means meditate on that. Hallelujah. Psalm 94:14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Again, a guarantee. And the last one that I just love, Ezekiel 44:28. The first part of that verse, it says, it shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. Woo! What could be more than anything could anybody ask for? What could be more needed than just God, Abba, the Father, the God of all things, the God of your inheritance, saying, I am your inheritance. Hallelujah. That is enough to praise God right there. But wait, there's more. My final point this morning. And I want you to read this when you see this in your word. It says that God has given us a lifetime of powerful protection. In verse 5, it says, we who are kept by the power of God. I want to focus on that word kept. It's so important. When I saw this, my hair stood up. The word here used in the Bible, kept, is a military word. When God says he has kept you by the power of God, it's a military word. Here's the word. It's called frurio. Frurio. I hope I pronounce it correctly. Frurio. Frurero. I was just testing you. Praise God. And you passed the test, brother. Let me give you the definition. It says, a watcher who goes before you in advance. It says, a mounted guard as a sentinel posted at the gates. It says, to hem them in. You know when you hem your pants, it just tucks it in and makes it safe and tucks it in? To hem you in and to protect and keep you with a garrison. A garrison is a whole legion of troops. Praise God. We are guarded. Your inheritance is guarded by the power of God. You are kept. Your inheritance is guaranteed by the power of God. Nothing can stop it. The devil can't steal it. No one can sabotage what God has for you. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 31:19. It says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. That means those of us that trust God, even when everybody says, we're going to die, we're going to die, it's not going to work out, this is going to be terrible, we're going to lose the house, we're going to lose the car, we're going to lose our shirt off our back, we don't have no food, we need to go buy water, we need to stock up on reserves, the doomsday preppers, let's build a tunnel in the garage, let's build a pathway to some place to preserve us. Listen, when that day comes, I ain't trying to be here for that. Hallelujah. That's why I got the blood of Jesus. My boarding pass is already signed, sealed, delivered by the blood of Jesus. One day the trumpet is going to go, and I'm out of here. Praise God. Peace out. I'll see you in 7 years. Hallelujah. I'll be back. And I'm going to be dressed in fine white linen, riding a white horse behind my Savior, my Lord, who's going to wear the crown that I take off my head and put it at his feet. And he's going to wear it on his head. And he's going to come and speak the word. And he's going to split the whole world in half. Hallelujah. People are going to be swallowed up by the power of God. He's going to deal with all the Israeli enemies, all those people that are coming after my Jewish brothers and sisters. He's going to smite them with the sword of his word and with the might of his power. And he's going to melt the whole earth with a fervent heat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My God is not no weak little skinny little dude on a cross. He's the King with eyes like flames of fire. Hallelujah. With a sword in his mouth, with the name written on his leg, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, faithful and true, with his robe dipped in the blood, and he's coming back with the fierce vengeance and wrath of God. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Listen, every time I read that verse, I feel like a little beta, like a little girl. Like, you know, when a girl falls in love at first and the butterflies, like a girl, like a beta. You know why? You know why? Because I have a very vivid imagination. I can think of some amazing, beautiful paradise type of things. If I were to recount to you some of the visions in my mind of what heaven must be like, let me tell you, it's not even scratching the surface. It's not even close. It's not even like razor, like the skin on your teeth. You can't see it, but we know it's there. Why? Because the internet says so. It must be true. But even with that fine infinitesimal detail, that's the best that our brain can muster up compared to what God has. Do you know that people are killing each other for gold? And in glory, the gold is going to be what we walk on. It's our pavement. It's gold is the pavement on the sidewalk in glory. Can you imagine walking by a golden city, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, with gates, 12 stories, and gates that are covered in precious stones and pearls and jewels, stuff you can't even pronounce. The Arkenstone. Come on, man. Where are my Hobbit fans? The Arkenstone is going to be laid up with stones. And you just, you'll be, praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him, right? I can only imagine, man. With the seas like glass, crystal glass. With the birds going, everybody clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. The branches, everybody clap your hands. Rejoice, clap your hands, everybody. And then the tulip goes, lifting him high, singing a song. Hallelujah. And the little cat goes, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Right? Can you imagine everybody? The birds, the trees, the plants, the grass waving their hands to the glory of God. And the angels of God flying around saying, hey, everybody, clap your hands. It's going to be like a paradise up there. It's going to be crazy. And everybody down here is going to be killing each other. And we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
And Jesus is going to say, would you like to have another glass? I'm telling you, saints of God, listen, stop complaining. We got it so good. We win. You win. You already won, and you don't even know it. You already won. You're a victor. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. You already won. You already won. You already won. You already won. You're victorious. Rejoice. 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 You already won. Our Lord has equipped you. He cares for you. He has given you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all works of the enemy. He calls you more than a conqueror. That means you don't even have to fight. You just walk over dead bodies on the battlefield and you pick up the spoils of war. He calls you an ambassador of heaven. That means you represent the kingdom of God here on earth. Hallelujah. He has given you the keys to the kingdom to unlock heaven in this land. Praise God. And he says, whatever you bind, whatever you lock, it'll be locked. It'll be bound. But whatever you open, whatever you loose, it'll be loosed. On earth as it is in heaven. He has freed you from the bondage of the law. He has freed you from captivity. He has given you power to subdue sin. He gives you power to overcome temptation, to resist the devil, to win every single trial and testing, by the way, which is temporal. We read it earlier, 1 Peter, right? Verse 6 and 7, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded, I'm just going to say it again. Some of you have heard this, but I'm reminded of an illustration I shared a while back about a little boy who was reading a story of cowboys and Indians. And the father kept hearing him saying, ooh, you going to get it. Ooh, you going to get it. Ooh, you going to get it. And the father finally said, I got to come in there and see what's going on. He says, son, what are you doing? Why do you keep saying you're going to get it? And the son said, well, Dad, I started reading, and my favorite character, the hero of the story, he keeps getting beat up by all the bad cowboys. And the father said, well, what did you do? He goes, well, I went to the end of the story. I went to the end of the book, and I read how, ooh, that bad cowboy, he's going to get it. Hallelujah. In the end, he gets beat down. Hallelujah. And so then I went back to where I left off. And now every time I see my favorite character get his butt whooped, I say, ooh, you gonna get it. Ooh, you gonna get it. Praise God. This should cause us, when we know the end of the story, every time the devil sends you a bill and says, you gotta pay, say, ooh, you gonna get it. Hallelujah. Every time your car starts making that funny noise and the radiator starts acting up, like, ooh, car, you going to get it. Hallelujah. Every time something starts acting up in your life, your son or your daughter or your family member starts wilding out and acting out of control, say, ooh, you going to get it. Hallelujah. You see, it puts a different spin on everything. Praise God. Because you know you're winning. It's like 45. I say 45 to not offend those that don't like 45. Hallelujah. But he said, we're going to be so tired of winning. You're going to say, oh, I can't take it anymore. Stop this winning. You see, the room got quiet. Hallelujah. You're going to win, 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 win. Praise God. I'm going to go a little quick. Hallelujah. You know, so many Christians, so many of us, we give up right at the finish line. We're right at the line. We're right there. And we quit. And we start picking up the phone. don't understand, keep fighting, persist, push, right? Pray until something happens, right? I love that acronym. Push, persist, persevere. Isn't the Bible telling us that your faith, which is more precious than gold, how can you resist anything when you're going through a trial or a conflict, when you know it is supposed to make you more polished? It's going to sharpen your sword. It's going to make you even more bright. It's going to fix you up even better than you already think you are. So why would we resist it? Why would we quit? Why would we throw in the towel? We should bless the Lord. Hallelujah. The book of James gives us a great couple of verses. James 1, 2 through 8. I know it might be tiny for some of you in the back, so I'm going to read it. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall," not when you face, when you fall into various trials. That means you have fallen and you can't get up. And you got to press the button. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. That means don't quit. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means you're going to be perfect at the end of this trial. You're going to lack nothing. And if you happen to lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But here's the caveat. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to be respectful, but I have a situation in my life where I've been called upon to pray. And the person that has asked me to pray is believing God with me for a certain set of events to happen. And I said, well, praise God. I enter into agreement. Let's come into covenant. And I'm starting to pray for this. But then the very same person is asking me to do this. But to do this contradicts everything we're praying for. It's a contradiction of terms. So I'm trying to tell the brother, dude, if we do this, isn't it going to cancel out that? Because the Bible says faith without deeds is dead faith. And so we're being counterproductive here. I mean, am I missing something? Did I miss something here? Oh, well, I just want to be prepared. Well, praise God. Let's prepare for the victory. Let's prepare for what we know to be true. Let's prepare and stay focused on the prize. Nah, brother, let's go here. And I'm like, yo, dude, you know, I can't roll with that. But you got to understand. No, I don't have to understand. I don't agree. You want me to pray for this, I'm down. Let's pray. But when I do this, it contradicts this. So my prayer is futile. Because the word says a double-minded man is unstable in everything that he does, and he should not expect to receive anything from the... I mean, did I miss that? You see, sometimes Christians... That's why I said earlier in this message, no is anointed. Sometimes we just got to say, sorry, man, no. Can't do it. Listen, when faith seems to waver and people start to fall and everything, what they do right away is they start blaming God. You see, God, it didn't happen. It didn't work for me. It didn't work. But they don't realize they're the ones that caused the faith to die by not following the word of God to the letter. We can't doubt God and panic and fear and worry. Those are the very things that causes fear to rise up. Faith and fear. You've heard me say this from this pulpit a million times. Today is a million and one. Here it is. Faith and fear have the same definition. Believing that what you cannot see will happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you believe that you're going to have what you're praying for, it shall come to pass. And then you start living it, activating the faith. You start putting into practice what you're believing to receive because you already believe that you have it. That's supernatural faith. That's the faith that moves the heart of God. But when you start saying, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Guess what, Papa? It ain't going to happen. You just close the door on your own faith. And don't blame God. It's not God. Nothing is impossible with God. I read that in my word. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm a fanatic. Guys, write this down for those that are taking notes. 2 Chronicles 20:17. It's a powerful verse. This is when Jehoshaphat was facing the enemy, and the whole town went into prayer and fasting. And a prophet, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. You could read the whole chapter. It's powerful. It's like 30-something verses. Powerful. But in this, the prophet of God said, don't worry. The battle belongs to the Lord. Don't fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. He will defend you. This is what he said in verse 17. He says, position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is something, because when people are freaking out, they're going through crisis and they don't know what the answer is. And then a prophet of the word of God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you're heeding the word of God, guess what you're going to do? All right, I got my assignment. I shall not be moved. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing. But many of us don't. Stekos. We don't plant our feet in the ground and stand and be watchful and vigilant. What we do is we say, but it might work for them. But it didn't work. Every time I try to stand, it doesn't work for me. And then we wonder why things go south. You know, listen, I've said this many times. You know, I consider myself to be a person of not just regular faith, but great faith. You know why? Because I learned as a young man, and this is not haughty, it's not arrogant, it's because I trust God that much. Let me tell you, I learned such a valuable lesson as a young man. I was so embarrassed because I threw in the towel. I gave up. I threw in the towel at the last minute because I was expecting God to do something a certain way, and it didn't happen, and I blamed God. I cursed God. I remember putting a middle finger at the sky. I drank a whole case of Budweiser. I smoked a whole carton of cigarettes that night. I sulked like a little baby, and I was mad at God. And I hid for 3 days. And after 3 days, God showed up in a way that I never expected. But everything that he said to me in prayer, he did it exactly to the letter. Except I didn't see it. I wanted it my way. So I made a covenant with God that day with boogers and snot and tears on my green rug. I remember like it was yesterday. I threw myself on the floor, flat, prostrate. My face was eating the floor. And I said, God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what anybody thinks. I will never doubt you again. If you tell me, I will go to the grave believing your word. I will never doubt you again. And from this point forward in my life, every time I've had a crisis, every time I face something, I wait to hear from God. I don't run ahead of God. I don't move ahead of God. I stay in my place. I position myself and I wait to hear from God. I'll just keep waiting. But when God speaks, I'm on. Ain't nothing going to stop me. No one's going to knock my faith down. And there's times where Christians will say, oh, don't worry. You know, I've seen others struggle in this. And just in case, I said, brother, I love you. I love you, sister. I love you. But I don't receive that. I reject it out of my spirit. I reject it. I renounce it. My ears block it. Hallelujah. I set up gates. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I don't receive it. But I still love you. Praise God. You know why? Because I'm not even going to let a brother or a sister affect my trust in God. Praise the Lord. Never going to happen. Praise God through the problems. And I'm coming to a close. For those that say, when is he going to shut up? Don't worry, you'll get your chicken and fries in a minute. Hallelujah. Or your pizza, whatever you're going to have for lunch. Praise God through the problem. Problems are not permanent. Peter, with all of his issues, he knew about praising the Lord. David, who was a murderer and an adulterer, the king of Israel, he was anointed of God. God said, he is the apple of my eye, my beloved, right? He knew about praising the Lord. Today, Peter, in that chapter, gave us three great reasons to praise the Lord. Number one, a lifetime of living hope. That means not only here, but in glory. Number two, a lasting, eternal inheritance that God's going to protect. Number three, God's going to protect it and guarantee forever and ever. He's going to keep watch over it so that it will come to fruition. Amen? If this isn't good enough reason to praise God, then you must be among the walking dead. Because Psalm 115 17 through 18. Now listen closely. This is for the ones that when everybody's going crazy worshiping God, this is the one for the bumps in the log. This one's for you. Hallelujah. It says, it is not the dead who praise the Lord. Those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord, praise God. So if you have trouble finding anything good to think about, to dwell upon, anything wholesome, pure, lovely, if you have trouble praising the Lord, your spirit may still be dead. It got quiet here. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In Psalm 107, verses 8, 15, 21, and 31, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. If men began to praise the Lord more at home, maybe the wives wouldn't be so grumpy. Maybe the children would have a pep to their step. Maybe the dog would wag his tail a little bit more. Maybe the fish would blow some bubbles. Maybe the cat would stop meowing all night long. Hallelujah. Maybe the birds would start singing to the glory of God. Maybe things would start to change in your house. But it starts with you, men of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. One, two, three. Yes. Hallelujah. You know what, men? For me, let's do this. I'm going to say one, two, three, and just say praise the Lord on cue. Amen? And then the ladies. This is a guy thing. Hold on a second. Let the guys, we're going to warm you up, right? We're going to warm up the ladies, all right? All right, ready? One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
All right, ladies, that's how it's done. All right, so watch this. One thing will blow us out of water. Now. Ready? All of us together. Ready? One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, one, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
Three, two, one.
Praise the Lord.
Ah, I got you. Praise God. Listen, we should rejoice in the things of God, right? Praising God. Hallelujah. Through everything, in everything, praise the Lord. I end with a chapter, Psalm 146, and I'm going to read this entire chapter, and then we're going to close in prayer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. Hallelujah. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.